Right now, I would like to welcome Mark David Gerson. He is the author of the books Moon Quest, A True Fantasy, and The Voice of the Muse, Answering the Call to Write. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.
And I should say that you are an award-winning author. You were named a gold medal IPPY winner in the Independent Publishers Book Awards for your book Moon Quest.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So, let's talk about this whole process of writing, which you talk about in your book, about writing, The Voice of the Muse. You talk about something called the muse stream. There's a lot of water metaphors in your work about writing.
Well, of course, creativity in writing is about flow, so it is a perfect metaphor. I guess my whole philosophy, and actually the Moon Quest was written like that, is that all we need to do is surrender to that muse stream, to that flow of words that is already within us, to the stories that are already within or around us, and just, in effect, let them have their way with us.
How did you learn to do that?
Well, it's funny. When I was younger, I hated writing. I hated English class more than any other class in school. And I think my issue was one of being judged. I was always afraid of being judged. So when I was earlier in my professional life, I was a freelance writer, freelance editor, freelance journalist. And I was working at a magazine one day. And one of my fellow editors said, "This is a writing class you have to take." And I said no, because my image was everyone stands up, reads their work, gets shot down, and you leave with your tail between your legs. And she said, "It's not like that at all." So I went and took the class ultimately. I gave in, and it wasn't like that at all. It was very nurturing, very supportive. And it really gave me the foundation both for how I write and how I teach.
So what did they do in that class that was so different than anything you'd known before?
Basically, the process was about supporting the writer in his or her creative process, not about being smart or clever. And that's really, I think, what I try to do when I teach and in the Voice of the Muse, is I really try to, whatever I do is to support you in your creativity. And it's not about me showing off. It's about me doing whatever I can to support you to grow as a writer and produce better work.
So there's this idea that the story that you have to tell or that somebody has to tell already exists in a parallel dimension.
Yeah, and my feeling is that, in a sense, everything exists around us, in the ethers around us, in another dimension, if you will. And all we're really doing when we're writing is tapping into that, and it's like a manifestation technique when you're working with money. It's taking what's etheric and making it physical. So you're taking the energy of a story, which isn't words on a page. It's just an energy. It's a concept. It's an idea, and you can talk about it in etheric terms. You can talk about it neural impulses in your brain, and you're translating that. You're interpreting that energy into words, and one of my concepts is, because you're doing that, it's never going to be perfect.
Perfection. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, it's never going to be perfect because you're dealing with two different media. You're dealing with an energetic medium, which has no physicality, and you're taking it and creating words on a page. So by doing that, by definition, it doesn't translate directly. It can't be perfect, which is very liberating. If you realize from the start it's never going to be perfect, then you don't bang your head against it quite so much. You just do the best you can.
Yeah, who was it? We had an author on the air not too long ago whom we asked, "When do you know the book is done?" He said, "When the publisher wants it."
Well, I mean, you know, I was giving a talk at Hastings in Albuquerque a few days ago, and somebody, one of the questions was, you know, I never stop. I just keep working on this over and over and over again. I said, you know, you've, at a certain point, you've got to stop, or the next book never comes. You could work on the same paragraph for the rest of your life, and then nothing, and you get stuck. So basically, you take it as far as you can take it, recognizing that, you know, it's a photograph in time. It's as good as you can make it as who you are when you're complete. And then it's time to move on to something else.
Now, you talk in your book, and this is something that probably many of our listeners have also encountered in the work of Natalie Goldberg and her books about writing, is shutting off the inner censor, the inner editor, all the sense of judgment that comes from without, and you do that through different techniques. First of all, what's wrong with editing?
There's nothing wrong with editing. Editing is very, very important, but there's a time and a place for editing. What happens when we edit as we write, not always, and kind of the caveat there is that if you can edit while you write and not let your editor be in charge, then it's fine. It's just a question of who's going to take charge of each process. When you're writing, when you're in the flow, when you're in a place of surrender to the story, if your editor is often in that place, a fearful part of yourself that says, you know, this is kind of dangerous, I don't think we should go there, or people are going to laugh at you, or stuff like that. And that pulls you out of the easy flow of creativity and gets you into a place of second-guessing and self-judgment. And so if you can edit while you're right and not go there, more power to you. Most people, for most people, what happens is all the second-guessing comes in, all the self-criticism comes in, all the years of having been beat up, for whatever reason they've been beat up, come in, and the creativity gets stunted. So what I say is let the flow happen, and when you've got something down, then you go back and you edit it. And my whole attitude toward editing is a little different, too, because it's really, for me, it's like a whole body, whole brain approach. It's not just, you know, taking the hatchet and going at it. It's really using your intuitive abilities, using all your senses, including your intuitive senses. And really, in fact, I try to use the word revision instead of editing, because for me, the editing process is revisiting your vision and doing everything you can in a very gentle, self-nurturing, and respectful way to hone and polish and shape the work so that it aligns with your original vision.
We're talking to Mark David Gerson. So there are some things you do in that you talk about in the book, namely actual meditation exercises. Mm-hmm. Do those work?
They work if you're open. They work to the extent that you're open to them working, and that's true for any technique. You know, we can, to the extent that we're prepared to surrender to any technique, it'll work for us. To the extent that we're resistant, then it's not. Some people meditate more easily than others. You don't have to meditate to use the book. There are some meditations in the book which I believe are helpful, that you can certainly use the book without them.
Now, what is writer's block?
Writer's block, well, it depends on how you're asking the question. The way writer's block is normally defined is you're stuck and can't go anywhere.
Right.
Either because you've lost your talent or because the words won't come. My attitude is that, yes, we all get stuck, but we don't get stuck because we have no talent. We don't get stuck because the words won't come. We get stuck because we may not be on the right track, and we get stuck because we're not surrendering to the words that want to come.
And I heard a writer say that, in her experience, writer's block was always lack of information. And if she figured out what the piece of information was that was missing and actually did the research, even if it was fiction, mm-hmm. then the words would come.
And that, I mean, there are many ways in and through writer's block, depending on what the cause is. One of the causes can be that you're not ready to continue. When I wrote The Moon Quest, I stopped for about five months. Not because I was stuck, because life got in the way.
Right.
And when I went back to it, I was scared that I had bypassed it and realized that life had gotten in the way because I wasn't ready. And I needed those life experiences to catch up with a story that was way beyond who I had been. So writer's block can come from a place where we're stuck because we're not where the story is yet. So that's
very interesting.
That's one way. So we have to, again, it's all about discernment and just being open to what the various causes can be.
Now, there's the whole set of ideas about, you know, being free, letting it flow, meditating, not self-censoring. And I find myself wondering, would you say this to somebody who is trying to learn the violin? You know, just pick up the bow any way you want and, you know, scrape it across any strings you choose. Well, no, it's about technique. It's incredibly rigorous.
There is certainly, you have to be able to know how to string a sentence together. the difference between writing a book and learning the violin is that, the similarity is practice is important. It's important to keep writing. It's important to keep reading because that's one of the ways you learn. But you can go back and edit your book, your work, after the fact. The violinist goes on stage and that's it. So you have more space as a writer than you do as a performer.
Oh, that's an interesting distinction. Now, do you think everybody can really write, or is it, like the violin, a gift?
I think everybody is innately creative. I think that everybody can write. I don't necessarily believe that everyone can write a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, but I think everyone has the ability to touch something deep within themselves and bring out something that will touch other people.
And you've taught quite a lot of writing classes.
I have, and I have taught classes where people come in saying that they can't write, and they walk out touching people, they walk in thinking what they write is awful, and are convinced by sharing what they've written with other people, and having touched those people, that perhaps it's not so bad after all.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting in your book was set easy goals,
uh-huh.
because a lot of people set themselves up for failure by saying, I'm going to write from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning, and then on the first day they don't do it.
And then they beat themselves up, and that's the end of it. Yeah, I think, you know, we're so trained in our society to beat ourselves up for our failures but not to celebrate our successes. And so this is really a technique for setting us up for success rather than for failure. So if all you think you can do is write 3 words a week, then do that and you'll feel better. If you set yourself up to write...
I call that an easy goal.
Yeah, but if you set yourself up to write 3,000 words and you don't do it, you'll feel awful.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but if we set ourselves up to succeed, success builds upon success, and before long we are doing that 3,000 words because we feel good about ourselves and we feel good about the process and the project.
So how did you go from being a freelance writer and writing for deadlines and clients and so on to writing fiction?
I stopped to be a freelance writer. You don't have to do that, but I stopped completely. I mean, I went cold turkey. I couldn't be writing other people's stuff and editing other people's stuff and doing my own.
So what kind of writing were you doing?
I was doing magazine and newspaper writing. Basically, again, other people's ideas to other people's deadlines, and really not connecting with anything inside of me, which doesn't mean you can't be doing that work and making those connections. I wasn't doing it.
So tell us about your book, The Moon Quest. It's called A True Fantasy.
Sure.
What does that mean?
Well, a couple of ways of looking at that. One is that my philosophy is that fiction can be truer than fact, because fiction touches us at very deep places and allows us to have our own experience of the words. Fact just kind of says, here it is. When we read fiction, we again go to deep places within ourselves. The story really, though I didn't know this when I was writing it, fortunately, is kind of, for me, it was a metaphor for my own creative awakening. It's a story about a mythical land. It is a fantasy where stories have been banned, where storytellers have been banished or more likely put to death, and where there is no vision or imagination in the land. And that, in a sense, was who I was. In writing the story, in very much the way that I had already been teaching writing, which was I had no clue what I was doing, or where the story was going, or where it was taking me. I just allowed myself to have the story be the driver's seat and be in the passenger seat and go along for the journey.
That's a lot of trust.
It's a lot of trust.
It's in that thing that we talked about before, namely kind of the pre-existing story.
Right. Well, you know, the both books kind of snuck up on me. I did not plan to write either of them. The Moon Quest actually happened for me when I was teaching a writing class. And for some reason that I still don't quite understand, when I had my students doing the exercise, I did it too. I never do that. That day I did. And what came out was the first scene of the first draft of this story. And what possessed me to keep going, I can't even tell you today, but I did. And the story evolved. And I didn't know the title until about halfway through. I didn't know how it was going to end until probably about three quarters of the way through.
And that's not true for every author.
Of course not.
Some novelists, they have sort of a sense of the whole before they start.
Absolutely. And there's, and you know, in The Voice of the Muse, there are various rules for different kinds of writing, and the first rule always is there are no rules. So, you know, my technique works for certain people with certain in certain situations, and it doesn't mean that it's going to work all the time. I'm working on a sequel to The Moon Quest, and I have more of an idea where that's going than I did with The Moon Quest, which
right.
was a total exercise in absolute trust. And very stressful. You know, if you're a recovering control freak, then that kind of surrender is very much a profound life experience as well.
Well, there was a great symbol of that from your own life, where you decided at a certain point in your life that you just felt the call to get in your car and move from where you were, didn't know where you were going. And it was very stressful, as you write in your book. And then suddenly you end up at a place, say, I think I'll stay here. And next thing you know, you're married with children.
Yes. Well, in fact, writing The Moon Quest, because I'd written most of the drafts, the early drafts before that, in effect freed me to do that. So the experience of having to have that deep level of trust in the creative process made it possible for me to have that kind of trust in my life process.
And to do things, then find yourself in places that you never would have found
Absolutely.
If you'd been rational about sort of life decision making.
Absolutely. You know, my thesis is that, you know, our imagination is limited by what we know and what we can see and our experiences. And The Moon Quest and much of my life since I wrote it has really gone way beyond anything I could have imagined.
And so are these books available locally here
Yes.
in Santa Fe?
Yes. The Moon Quest and The Voice of the Muse are available at both border stores. And Collected Works. The Voice of the Muse is only available at Collected Works right now in town, and also through Amazon.
And you will be speaking in Rio Rancho.
I will on June 26th at 6:30. I'm giving a talk through the Teen Library, but it's open to everybody, called The Evolution of a Writer. And I'll be talking about how I wrote The Moon Quest and my philosophy of writing. And if there's time and interest, maybe even doing a little bit of a writing exercise for people who are there.
Oh, great. Mark David Gerson is the author of The Moon Quest, a True Fantasy, and The Voice of the Muse, Answering the Call to Write. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.